Welcome to Opening the Door Podcast. Join me as we unlock the door to our psychic and mediumship abilities. Today you'll hear a conversation I had with Lee. We talk about Lee's work with compassionate inquiry, Akashic records, and heart body wisdom. This is a really wonderful sort of healing conversation. And just the more I learn from so many amazing people that I get to talk to on the podcast and read more books and do more of my own spiritual learning, the more I have sort of just come to the understanding that, one, our souls and bodies are so, so connected, and two, like, they're meant to be that way because we're human. And the more sort of soul healing we do, which can also be so connected to the body in a lot of ways, the more regulated we are and in our nervous system, and the more able to we are to help ourselves hear our intuition and our guides because we're more regulated in our nervous system. So this conversation is sort of about healing, soul stuff, body stuff, like how it's all connected. And that was one thing that, you know, a bunch of people sort of requested when I asked, like, what do you want to hear more of in the next season of the podcast? And a lot of people talked about sort of wanting to hear more about that inner healing and what that looks like and stuff. So I hope this episode, if you were one of the people who sort of requested a topic like that, I hope you enjoy this episode. If you're interested in learning more about Lee's work, her website is in the show notes. Plus, she is part of an upcoming event called The Big Chill, which is an online retreat happening March 2nd. So enjoy this episode and remember, don't be afraid to open your door. Today, we're welcoming Lee to Opening the Door. Lee Ashoff is a certified compassionate inquiry practitioner and an advanced Akashic Records practitioner and teacher. She is passionate about honoring the heart-body wisdom that resonates with us all. She offers all healing approaches deeply grounded in presence, trust, non-judgment, compassion, and possibility. Lee, welcome to Opening the Door.
Thank you, Haley. It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat with you because just from some of the stuff in your bio, I'm really excited to get into presence specifically and like heart, body, wisdom. I'm excited to get into that. But first, before we sort of dive in, can you tell us a little bit about where your own spiritual journey began?
Such a great question. Goodness. I mean, it can go back so far potentially, especially because sometimes I work with past lives. So I would say my spiritual journey began when I was born. I mean, I'll start with this lifetime. Some of my experiences as a child, particularly the wounding experiences and also my experience of being half adopted, allowed me to be very connected to the non-physical realm. And so that began with my imagination. And so I would say in this lifetime, that's where it began. More formally, in terms of pursuing becoming a practitioner, that's where my mind goes next. Later in my life, I would say in my 30s, my late 20s and 30s, I recognized that I was having a lot of relationships with friends, family, significant others, where I played a supportive role for them in their life at some point. And I saw how passionate I was about stepping into relationship in that role. And truly, in 2019, I took a class with Helen Vonderheide, Healing Through the Akashic Records, and I actually took it for myself. However, it was a real turning point for me because I was able to experience how connected I was to non-physical energy. And so I took that class with an intention to heal and receive healing. And then it evolved into an unfolding path to where I am today.
Amazing. How did you find your way specifically to compassionate inquiry and Akashic record readings?
So for the Akashic record readings, I had a friend who offered me an Akashic record reading as part of her training. And so it was introduced to me from community in that way. And it was years after that that I ended up taking that class I just mentioned. So my way to the Akashic records was from receiving Akashic records readings and from a couple different people. And then, of course, becoming familiar over time with connecting with that realm. And then taking a training was so inspiring. And I just wanted to learn more about it. And it's such a supportive resource. It's always been a supportive resource for me. And it really aligns with creativity because there's so much to discover. There's so many possibilities of questions, and there's so much to receive. There's so much potential that can be shown in an Akashic Records reading. Compassionate inquiry, I definitely discovered Gabor Mate probably in 2019. There was an article online where he talked about the word trauma coming originally from, I'm not actually sure what language, but a deeper meaning of it is wound. And it really spoke to me because at that time I was exploring some of my own wounding more and intentionally wanting to heal myself. So I was very interested in his work since then. And what really drew me to engaging in the training and pursuing certification was that I wanted more trauma-informed education, experiential education to support the people that I work with. So compassionate inquiry absolutely has given that to me. And it was a bit more than I had been trained in and some of the other healing practitioner trainings that I had been in. And I have always felt really called to his work and his voice, and also how he, one of my favorite things about his work is how he speaks for addicts and does not villainize them, and how he speaks to childhood developmental needs in ways that are really inspiring. So yeah, so that's what arises for me with those questions.
Cool. Can you define for us what compassionate inquiry is?
Yes. So compassionate inquiry is a somatic psychotherapeutic approach to an intention that a client or a person might bring to a session. Another way of saying it is somatic counseling. For anybody new to somatic healing, it really is healing sessions that invite a connection and exploration of how your body is responding, sensations in your body, and coming into the present moment to feel, to sense, and to allow what the body wants to say through sensation or any other way to be seen, to be witnessed, to be shared.
I think something that has come up for me in the past over a year now since the podcast has started and has sort of developed over my understanding of there's so many, obviously, like the world is our oyster in terms of different little pieces of spirituality we can bring onto the podcast, right? And something that I've really started sort of to find and understand is that psychic work or spiritual work, like Akashic Records work or any of that stuff, is made possible and it helps so much to connect with your intuition when you're also doing like deep self work, you know? And so I'm wondering if you can speak to that a little bit more. Like, what is the connection between, or to you, what do you feel the connection is between spirituality and this sort of mystical spiritual space that you're in, and then also like things like compassionate inquiry that feel very much a little bit more grounded in this reality that we're in with our bodies?
Yes. Yeah. I love that question. Thank you. So for me as a practitioner, I'm a bit purist about how I offer the approaches. So I don't combine compassionate inquiry with the Akashic Records. However, I see there to be so many supportive aspects of both. So compassionate inquiry oftentimes will support someone in discovering how the past might be showing up in the present. So that often can be discovered through sensations in the body, through the emotion, through beliefs, and essentially understanding and exploring that more can help a person become more aware of when that happens for them in their life. And ideally, with that awareness, there can be the space of agency. So that can be the oftentimes the practice of understanding, you know, when something is arising from a wound from the past, and how can we recognize that and acknowledge that we are responsible and it's possible to choose. So there's, and I want to acknowledge that all of that is just words. So compassionate inquiry very much is it's an experience. And so I'm describing an experience. And I would say the same for the Akashic Records sessions because of the way the information lands in one's body and one's energy system. So having shared that about compassionate inquiry, I see that as a way to become more self-aware and come into relationship with our human wounds or trauma, like what happened to us and what happened inside us as a result of what happened to us. And then bridging to the Akashic Records, what I see is so inspiring is in the Akashic Records, a person can discover soul lessons, which is a way to look at one's experience. And it can be very affirming to learn a soul lesson. And it's a shift in perspective. And so for me personally, I know that information from my Akashic Records has helped me shift out of victim, seeing myself as a victim, and getting being more open and curious, like, oh, my soul chose these lessons. And I've laughed sometimes with one of my healing practitioners when, I mean, on a day I came in really heavy and really, you know, just doing a lot of personal work, experiencing a lot of challenges. And he reminded me in a really skillful way that, is it possible that, you know, my soul really was ambitious about, you know, packing on the lessons and looking at my human incarnation and saying, ooh, this one looks really juicy. Ooh, this lesson looks even juicier. Let's add that one. And so that for me can work really well with the recovering and returning to wholeness around trauma. So there's the human experience, and then there's like the themes of the soul lessons. So I for me, I see that bringing those two together, it can be just really powerful, and it can help balance it. It can really help balance it a lot.
I think it's like, and the more, I don't know, I just really think that I'm coming to realize that the more healed, or like the more even like aware of the healing that we need, maybe the more we can hear our intuition too, I think. And like, I don't know, I don't want anybody who's listening to feel like forced into some self-healing that they don't feel like they can do right now. But I do think that there is a lot of power in healing to hear our intuition a little bit, or something like that, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite things, if you want to, either one, if you want to take Akashic Records or compassionate inquiry, whichever you're feeling sort of called to chat a little bit more about, what are some of your, or both even, what are some of your favorite things about both of those services that you offer?
My favorite thing about, I would say my favorite thing about compassionate inquiry is how, I'll speak from being a client of compassionate inquiry. So I can speak from my experience of the healing approach. My favorite thing about it is the discovering what arises after setting an intention. So I never know how the session will unfold when I set an intention in compassionate inquiry. And what's amazing about it is that my body oftentimes will help me to connect with things that I didn't realize were maybe connected to my intention. And part of that process, oftentimes, even if it's uncomfortable, like to feel into any tension in my body or to share things that are really hard to share, I oftentimes experience after the session a sense of liberation and a sense in my body, a shift in my physical body as well. So that's not necessarily something that happens every session. However, it's the somatic part of it. It's involving my body in a healing process, you know, within the parameters of a healing approach. That has been so powerful for me. And again, that's an experience. So it's an experience that I've had from compassionate inquiry that I find really powerful. For the Akashic records, I think my favorite thing is the creativity and the way that my non-physical team in the Akashic records, they just have so much encouragement and love and so many creative ideas for me whenever I ask them a question. So they remind me of how abundant possibility is. And they remind me of things that I forget in my own human judgment. So it's a loving resource. And yeah, those are some of my favorite things about both.
Cool. Can compassionate inquiry be done virtually, or is it something that happens in person between a practitioner and whoever's receiving?
You can do it either way. Right now I do all my sessions virtually through Zoom. So I would recommend doing Zoom video, although I have done a CI phone call before. It's rare, and I did it because of a power outage. But I do, you know, if there's a rapport between the practitioner and the client, I think that would be ideal. But I think it can be done through Zoom, virtually, or in person.
And when you receive, because I love what you said about working with the Akashic records and sort of the expansiveness and creativity and possibility in that. I love the word possibility. What does that feel like when you're receiving that information? How does it come through to you? Does it come through clairvoyantly? Does it come through in words and phrases? Like, what is your experience working within the Akashic records? What does it feel like? What does it look like to you?
Okay, great. I would say I primarily receive information clairvoyantly and clairsentiently. So sensing and seeing, sometimes claircognizantly as well. Sometimes I have physical sensations in a session, like I might get chills or a sensation of warmth or just this, like a sense of love or sometimes there's like sensations or states of being that can come over me while I'm in a session with someone. Oftentimes they really lean into utilizing my experiences as an artist and as an energy healer. So I also studied energy healing. Sometimes they'll touch into like my experiences as a yoga teacher. And sometimes they touch on, you know, aspects of the healing approaches that I'm trained in that are more one-on-one counseling, like compassionate inquiry. But I mostly receive visually and in a sensory way. There's a lot of visuals that they send through for me, for sure.
And this is just popping up from your answer, but what did the Akashic records look like to you when you sort of go in and access?
Well, I would say they look different every time I do a session. And, you know, it's a great question. I will be honest with you that my experience is that it's I don't know if I've ever described this to anyone before. So I experience that as a large, like, energy, like space of energy. And traditionally, when I learned about the Akashic records, there were particular characters and roles. However, it's opened up more to me as I expanded in my studies. So what I visualize is that there's like a core of energy, and there's just so many different like facets, almost like cells. And then when I'm doing a session, it's like something is, it's almost like a cord coming from that, and then magnifying a various scenes in response to opening the records for someone or for myself. So it's like it's corded to that almost like a core or almost like a pit, but it's energy and light. So it's almost like it's hard to explain, but it just comes off. It's almost like a sub scene of the whole.
Very cool. Cool. I like that. I feel like I can kind of visualize what you're talking about. And I don't know. I think that is really, really cool. I would love to touch on in your bio this wording that you have, the heart body wisdom that resonates within us all. Can you just touch on that a little bit and tell us what that means to you and maybe how we can sort of start to access it ourselves?
Yes, thank you. So that is a way that I describe how I see what happens in the healing sessions. So for the Akashic Records sessions, the way that I see it is that I'm a messenger for anyone I work with in the Akashic Records. So their team speaks through me for them. And so I see that the imagery and the message is coming through lands in the heart and the body of the person asking. So that's how I see it with the Akashic Records. With compassionate inquiry, for my sessions, I always offer a grounding. Usually people say yes. So there's a way that we'll intentionally connect with our heart and body to begin every session. As I see the compassionate inquiry sessions, and this is very much how I see it, I see inherently that heart is a part of it, because we're coming down out of our conditioned thinking minds, out of the story, and into a deeper place in our bodies, in our hearts. We definitely inquire into body sensations, into compassionate inquiry. So that's my preface. And then to answer your question more fully, I see that like the Akashic Records messages landing in the heart and body of the person asking activates the wisdom within them, depending upon how they receive it, how it resonates and unfolds for that person over time. So there's like an alchemy that is yielding the wisdom for that person from within themselves. And with compassionate inquiry in the sessions, it's very person-centered. So most of the time in the sessions, there's a wisdom that emerges that the person can take away with them after the session. And that's a little bit different because we work with a lot of different things in compassionate inquiry, but it's sometimes there can be like a message from the alchemizing of present events, emotions, beliefs, sensations, and the past. And a lot of times there is that churning just that happens naturally from the inquiry that can result in wisdom. And so when I say wisdom, I mean wisdom can be simple, can be, the conclusion of a session in CI could be, I need to lay in the grass, once a day, before the sun sets to really connect with myself. It can be so simple, or with the Akashic Records, it could be something about something I was really judging myself for or just so ashamed of having in my life. And the Akashic Records helped me to love myself more in that area and let go of some of the judgment I was holding against myself, and through that love, softening the shame, and coming into self-acceptance. So those are some examples. Hopefully that might be helpful because sometimes I know I explain sometimes, so I wanted to give examples.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. when we're talking about sort of working with beliefs that we have, obviously we're all human beings growing up in this world and we receive a lot of beliefs and create a lot of beliefs for ourselves. Can you just chat a little bit about working with beliefs and how that sort of plays into our spirituality in our day to day?
So my recommendation around, you know, if a person is curious about compassionate inquiry and Akashic records, compassionate inquiry is a great approach to be curious about what we're believing about ourselves in a current situation that could be connected to an intention for a session. So additionally, working with beliefs is a process. And so I say that because my intention is to invite us all to be gentle with ourselves in a process where we're exploring a belief. So an example of a belief would be I'm defective. And then we can get curious, like, how is that belief affecting my choices, my behavior, my perception of myself, others in the world? I often like to speak from my own experience because I feel like that's, you know, most appropriate. So when I work with my beliefs, it's just the more I can become aware of them, the less close they are to me. So some of the beliefs that I work with, sometimes they're just so close to my core that it's hard for me to see how I'm actually believing that and how it's actually affecting my choices and my behavior. And so that self-awareness and gentleness and compassion can be really helpful, and seeing it as a process. So the Akashic records are a great place, in my opinion, to bring a belief that I already have worked on a bit in a different healing approach so that I'm familiar with it. And I see it as a great resource to ask for insight on how can I work with this belief that I'm defective. Like I've worked with it a bit, for example, in somatic healing, counseling, contemplation, journaling, sharing with trusted loved ones. How else can I work on this? How else can I transform, you know, my relationship with it and experience more liberation? Those are great questions to bring to the Akashic records and to see their creative insights around it. So that's how I see the beliefs, as because I've had people come, and you can still come to an Akashic reading and say, help me understand my beliefs. You know, you can still ask and you can always ask. I find that when we come to the Akashic readings with some, when we're rooted in some like earth work, you know, human body heart work that we're already engaged in, it can be even richer.
Yeah. How do you get that? Like you touched on sort of getting space from a belief, like some are held so closely. And I think obviously we all have ones we hold really closely that aren't really true about us, especially sort of the mean beliefs that we have about ourselves. So what are some tips for people to sort of start to get a little bit of that space from some beliefs that they're sort of looking to even, you know, shed and move on from?
Great. So compassionate inquiry sessions, that would be my biggest tip, but I'll give a little bit more information. They're just, when you ask that question, it actually even helps me to see in a new way, like how compassionate inquiry can help with that. So some of the more detailed ways is discovering when the belief might have begun, understanding a felt sense of what it's like in your body when you're believing that, getting curious about who would you be without that belief. And oftentimes routes to those discoveries come with like an intention and a situation. So that can be a part of it. For example, certain types of personalities or situations happen to bring this belief up in me, or there's an archetype that I see embodied by people around me occasionally. And when that archetype is around, I notice myself, believing this about myself. So that awareness, those are like, you know, points of awareness that can help us then when we're in our day-to-day life to recognize it and not making it wrong. That's another really helpful one, to just notice when it's showing up. And very important part of this actually is knowing what you would like to believe. If you want to choose what you're going to believe, do you want to keep believing? Like, do I want to keep believing I am defective, or do I want to choose something else? And I'd like to choose something else. So what would that be? I have everything I need. I'm competent just as I am at every moment. And then one more step, which I will completely honor and thank Ram Dass for teaching me, to be the awareness, to align with the awareness, the true self, the capital S self essence, but that's witnessing those choices. So I think that those are a couple tips that come up when you ask that question. Thank you for that great question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think sort of what you're pointing to next here is being present, because I think we can't catch those things that you're listing without being present, like in the moment, you know? So can you talk a little bit about maybe the power of presence and what that has to do with all this as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So I recommend having a practice, a daily practice that you can practice being in presence. The importance of presence is to be aware. It's to help with self-awareness. It can increase a sense of agency. And one of the many things I love about heart body wisdom is that the heart beats in the present moment, and the body is very present. So when a person takes the time to see, you know, what's happening in my body as I talk about this, or I'm noticing, you know, a sensation in my body, tuning into that is also a way of being present. So for me, I see the importance of presence in this work as just an evolving self-awareness of ourselves, and in particular, how we are in connection with ourselves. And then from there, you know, from a place of presence, recognizing, you know, our ability to respond, and noticing too with curiosity what choices are possible. I notice for myself, the more that I sit daily in meditation, which I've been doing that for over a year now, but it's increased my ability to stay present even when I might get triggered or react to a family member and apologize later, but I'm more aware of it when it happens. I'm not completely into a reactive unconscious mode. So it's, you know, I add that to acknowledge that it's not about perfection, but it's just about learning with awareness sometimes.
Totally. In terms of meditation, do you have any? Meditation is something obviously we talk a lot about on the podcast, because yeah, I also think it's important for us to be able to help ourselves hear our intuition and all of that stuff. But do you have any tips for somebody who is hearing you say that you're sitting in meditation daily and they're sort of wanting to do that but having trouble getting there? Do you have any tips for staying the course when it might feel difficult to get to meditation daily?
Yes. My first tip would be to find a teacher. And that has helped me, because with having a teacher and engaging in a class process that was once a week, it deepened my commitment to myself, because I was being held by the community of the class. Even though we just met once a week, there was like a commitment and a regularity of it. Something that I learned from my meditation teacher too was to be my own best friend. So if there was a time where I missed a day or forgot to meditate, oh my goodness, can you, you know, like I'm like, oh my goodness, I forgot. And of course, I want to be hard on myself, but it was a really beautiful response from my teacher when he said, you know, you want to be gentle with yourself and be your own best friend through the process. So that's been helpful for me. Those would be my biggest tips, because then you also have like a guide and someone to ask for support with the process. I will be honest, like years ago, I have meditated throughout my life, especially when I practiced yoga and when I taught yoga, but I didn't think it was really possible that I would be able to meditate every day. And I started off in the class at 20 minutes a day, and I'm up to 47 minutes a day. And I'm aiming to do 1 hour. I think that would be great. So I'm on my way to there. And that's not to say anybody has to do anything, you know, other than what they need for themselves. But I just wanted to acknowledge for myself, years ago, I never thought I would be able to meditate every day. And now I really look forward to it, and I'm very imperfect at it. Sometimes I sit and I don't want to. Sometimes I look at the clock. Sometimes the timer goes off and I realize I've been really engaged in my thinking, but I still sat and I still did my practice as a human being. And yeah, I want to say, this isn't a tip, but I just want to say, you know, everyone has my encouragement, my warm encouragement to explore what's possible regarding meditation. It definitely helps me to be calmer and to engage less in the drama from my egoic conditioned mind. And it's not to say that I don't get wrapped into some drama sometimes, because my own drama, you know, my fears, my stories. But like before I said, I'm a little bit more aware, and I feel more, my center of awareness is a bit more closer to the earth, more consistently throughout every day.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, I think there's so many different like reasons to meditate. And so I think if you just find your reason, I think it can really help too. But yeah, I think I just love that you mentioned coming to meditation as a human, because I think a lot of us, especially if you're listening to this and you're in the spirituality space at some capacity, and I think a lot of us just want to be able to like sit down and have zero thoughts for 50 minutes or whatever we think is the right amount of time to meditate. And that's just like, it's just like, we're all human people sitting here trying to learn and also be in this world, which is full of chaos. Outwardly and within ourselves, as we like continue on, all of us, like everybody's healing path is different, and so we're all dealing with all sorts of different things and seeing things on social media, and there's just 1,000 different places that your brain can be at once. And so yeah, I don't know, I just like the idea that you mentioned that we're all coming to this as humans and not as like ascended masters, you know, who have it all figured out. So
yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Let me, I kind of want to ask about this, just like, I don't know, you've touched on it a little bit, just the word possibility. And I don't know, I kind of just want to get a little bit more of your thoughts and musings about like what that means to you. And I don't know, like, what do you think is possible for the world? What do you think is possible for yourself or people? And I don't know, whatever you want to say about the word, because I just love sort of the essence that you're bringing to that.
So what comes up for me around the word possibility is a couple things. It connects to compassionate inquiry and a conversation that I had in my meditation class with the community there. So, and again, I'll speak from my own experience because I think that's just sometimes easier for me. When I'm in a state of tension or reaction, or my nervous system is not regulated, the breadth of possibility is very limited, as is my ability to be flexible. And usually when I'm tense, when I'm reacting, when I'm, in a sympathetic or dorsal state, I'm seeing the world in a very particular way. I'm believing something about myself, and the scope of possibility is very small. When I am in a regulated place, when I am conscious of the tension and willing to come into relationship with the tension in my body, when I'm willing to recognize the story I'm telling myself and what I'm believing, the scope and breadth of possibility start to open up, even if it's just a little bit more, just a little bit more. And it connects for me too with goal versus aim. So for me, having a goal, so I do this, I'll do this a lot, and I'm playing and practicing with it in my own life, where a goal oftentimes will be like very fixed. And I want to get there by a certain point, and I have this idea, and if it doesn't unfold the way I envision it, I'm hard on myself, or I make it mean that it might not happen, or I might be a failure. And that to me is very aligned with my ego. Aim is a lot more open, and there's a lot more room for creative unfolding and possibility. There's room for the unknown. And there's also space for me to practice self-compassion and being gentle with myself along the way. And then one thing that comes up now is community, and how we need one another, and we're social beings, and we can co-regulate, and we can remind one another of the possibilities that we might not be seeing in that moment, and that can take vulnerability, safety and connection. But I see that as an important part of it. And what a beautiful occasion when we can remind each other of that, and show up for one another in that way. So that's what comes up for me. Yeah, thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for sharing. I think there's a lot of healing in this conversation. So just thank you so much for sharing your words and just all the good stuff that has come out of this. I just have one final question for you, and that is, what can someone who's listening right now do in their life to open their door up a little bit more to their sort of natural intuitive abilities?
Beautiful question. Thank you. My encouragement around that would be to come into conscious connection with your breath, your heart, and your body throughout every day, and just being present with what's arising, and becoming really familiar with your own breath, your heart, and your body, so that it's a relationship that's like ongoing, and you then are able to become very familiar with the sensations in your body, your heart, your breath, and to notice what arises for you in different circumstances, different relationships, including the one with yourself.
Beautiful, Lee. Thank you again so much for being here. If people are interested in taking a look more at your work, where can they find you?
Thank you. Heartpeacehealing.com, and on Instagram, heartpeacehealing. Thank you, Haley.
Wonderful. Yes, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate the opportunity. It was great to be with you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you love the podcast and listen on Apple, please be sure to rate and leave a review. If you want more from Opening the Door, follow along on Instagram at Opening the Door Podcast. Have a question about psychic work or psychic development? Email openingthedoorpodcast@gmail.com and you might have your question included in one of our future Q&A episodes.